Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to the program. As you just heard a much younger version of myself say into the microphone, this is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the one and only campus community radio station way up here on Burnaby Mountain. And this show and all of the programming we produce here at CJSF is produced on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam and Squamish-speaking people, who have been here since time immemorial. And as Leslie, host of Typically Tuesdays and CJSF board member, likes to say, we recognize these people as the original storytellers of these lands. And so to be able to tell stories, share stories, and connect with you in the way that I do, that we do here at CJSF, is a great privilege. And so I'm very grateful and aware of that privilege as I move through my days and my weeks here. I'm glad you're here with me. Today on the program, we have what will it'll be the last episode of this Thursday Speak Up that is specifically election-focused, as the election is coming up real quick, Monday, April 28th. And I'm sure that Magnus will, you know, be talking about the election on Monday's episode of Speak Up, but you won't have any candidate interviews or anything that might sway your opinion. Not that that's what we're out here to do, of course. Today on the program, we are wrapping up a couple things. And that's not to say that there won't be any more election stuff here on CJSF. We're also participating in the National Election Night broadcast from the NCRA, and that'll be happening from 6 to 11 on Monday evening, where you'll get updates from all across the country, and myself and CJSF community journalist Danny Nesvadarani will be joining the show as contributors. We'll also have, at some point tomorrow, an interview with another candidate running for office. We have reached out to all of the candidates from all of the parties running in the four ridings that Burnaby is represented by: Burnaby North Seymour, Burnaby Central, Vancouver Fairview, Burnaby South, and New Westminster, Burnaby Myardville. And I'll be frank, we only got heard back from three or four candidates, despite multiple attempts, which is disappointing. But we will bring you what they have to say. We'll also finish up our series of interviews with mayors of municipalities across the Lower Mainland. You've heard from Ken Sim in Vancouver, Mike Hurley in Burnaby. You've heard from Patrick Johnstone in New Westminster, Richard Stewart in Coquitlam, and Mike Little in the District of North Vancouver. Today you will be hearing from Delta Mayor George Harvey. I spoke with him earlier this week, and we will have a candidate interview with Richard Farbridge, who is running to represent the PPC, the People's Party of Canada, in Burnaby Central. And then Public Affairs Department contributor Xenia did an interview with SFU's Dr. James Horncastle about foreign policy and the federal election and the current sort of U.S.-Canada relationship and what that means in the context of the federal election. So we're going to get to all of that, don't worry. But also don't worry, we're going to do the thing that if you're a regular listener, you have come to expect and hopefully look forward to. This is music by Devours from the new record Sports Car Era. This one is called Loudmouth.
George Harvey, very proud to be the mayor of the city of Delta.
Thanks for joining me this morning. With the federal election coming up on April 28th, what do you see as the key issues for residents of Delta in this election?
Well, quite a few, actually. For the last 6 years, I've been the mayor, and during that time, I've gone back to Ottawa a number of times, also as chair of Metro Vancouver, and really concerned and frustrated as every time we go that there's just no recognition of the needs of the city of Delta or Metro Vancouver. So I'm really hoping this election will have members of parliament that are elected that will really work hard and try to bring the voice of British Columbia back to Ottawa, because it certainly isn't being heard. Some of the concerns that we have in the city of Delta, of course, is our lack of infrastructure funding, for building our units that we have to do. Right now, across Metro Vancouver, including Delta, there's a real pause on construction of multiple housing, apartments, high-rises. And I'm very worried about that because we need the federal government to provide some type of economic stimulus to actually ensure that the developers go forward with their projects. So all these projects have been approved. There's over almost 60 of them that are on the books. But again, with the lack of certainty amongst the development community, they're just not proceeding. And I've gone over the numbers with them. I meet with them as much as I can to see, okay, what can we do here in Delta? But I can see where the numbers just aren't working for them. And also now with the tariffs, it's actually compounded it even worse. They see that their costs are going to go up. They do not want to proceed until they know those costs, and that's just a good business. But for us in Delta, if we don't have new growth that provides us the opportunities without raising taxes to have more revenue coming in order that we can pay for our collective agreements, all three of our collective agreements, QP, fire, and police, expire this year. And so I'm very worried without that new growth, how we're going to be able to afford doing this without raising taxes.
That's very interesting, because raising the revenue to be able to pay for those services is a municipal issue, but you need the federal funding in order to be able to increase the tax base in order to make that funding. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and if we don't have the infrastructure funded, like for Metro Vancouver, we collect development cost charges here just for Delta, and we have one of the lowest in the Lower Mainland. Because of that, we're not growing out, we're going up more. Because, of course, we have the significant percentage of agricultural land in the ALR in Deltas, so that we don't have to do the major projects. But our sewage still travels, say, from here at City Hall, it travels all the way over to Annecy's Island for treatment at the Annecy's Island Sewage Treatment Plant. And they're expanding that. That covers most of the south of the Fraser for sewage reception and sewage treatment. And we're doing tertiary treatment because of the environmental sensitivity of the river. We need the infrastructure funding for that. And to date, it's just mostly been ignored. In fact, we've been criticized Metro Vancouver's been criticized by the former housing minister for putting deep development cost charges. They would rather see it go on the property tax. And that's what I'm seeing now from movements from both the provincial governments, federal governments, the senior levels of government. They want us to pay more on our property tax. And when we talk about affordability, they're trying to load more on us.
One of the things you started with was wanting local representatives to have a greater voice and to bring the attention of the federal government here locally. That seems to come up a lot in a lot of the interviews we've done with mayors from around the Greater Vancouver area. Why do you think that is, that the attention seems not to be focused here?
Well, they told us once in a meeting that this was the federal government BC caucus that they don't get votes from putting money into sewage treatment plants. That's their mindset, is about elections. And I think it's just an absolute disgrace for the federal government to only have, I think there's just two MPs on the cabinet right now from British Columbia. So by the time the election results come across the country, of course, the election's already decided. So again, we're just isolated here, and we do not have enough members of parliament to actually make a difference.
You mentioned when talking about infrastructure and housing affordability and the slowing of building, you mentioned the uncertainty around tariffs. Do you think that in a broader sense, is concerning for residents of Delta when it comes to the federal election?
Well, it seems to me when talking to people, number one thing is we need somebody to take on Trump. And I'm concerned because that's ignoring a lot of their, you know, a lot of the subjects that they should be, you know, looking at our federal debt. You know, what are we doing for homelessness? I'm also very concerned about the border security, and I've been pushing the fact for a number of years now about we need a better enforcement at the ports to stop the fentanyl and the take. You know, the cartels are taking over and have almost free access. They can only right now look at less than 1% of the containers coming through. So it's very good odds if you're in the cartel or trying to bring in illegal or illicit drugs by having just that number there. So we need more. We need a representation at the federal government to say enough's enough. We need to tighten up the border.
What is another issue that you see as important for residents of Delta in the upcoming election?
A big one is crime. We're too soft on crime. And that even networks into the lack of port police. It's been 25 years since the port police were actually removed from the ports on the West Coast, including Prince Rupert, City of Vancouver, and, of course, Delta Port, which is the biggest port in Canada. They've had no police force there. And saying that, what existed 25 years ago doesn't fit today. So we need to have an integrated model where this both CSIS and the CBSA and the RCMP are working together and then work together with the police from Delta and police from City of Vancouver and the Surrey police from the Surrey docks, working together to ensure that it's everybody's talking to each other. Right now, it's not happening. And we need better equipment with regards to modern-day scanners. In fact, I have a meeting with an individual who's going to show me what's happening in Europe right now, where they have rolling scanners. So you're not taking the efficiency of moving containers away from the port, which is extremely important, of course, but they actually just roll through, and that way they're scanning every single container that's going out, which is what we need to do here. We're way behind what's happening in the rest of the world.
Right. Is there anything else you think is on the minds or should be on the minds of voters in Delta?
Yeah, I think for the younger generation, like my kids and yourself, we need help in housing. And housing is a mandate of the federal government, and it's been ignored by the previous governments over many years. But we need something that's going to work, something that's not going to take forever to implement. So that's on the minds of the people, is about affordability. People are also worried about regards to our hospital in Delta. Emergency was closed for two Saturday Sundays just about a month ago. To us, that was a real shock. And we need more support from the federal government for funding for our healthcare system.
And you touched on it a little bit, and we talked about bringing representation to the West, to British Columbia, to the Greater Vancouver area. But from whoever is elected to be the members of Parliament representing Delta, what would you like to see?
Well, I'd like to see them have a strong voice and speak up for Delta, and not just for whichever party they belong to. I think that's extremely important. The other one I wanted to mention is about the soft on crime. I mean, we need bail reform. We were promised bail reform by the Liberal government. They didn't come through. Right now, as you know, it's sickening when you have people that are seriously injured and the person's out on parole the next morning or a couple of days after. And very little charges actually happening in courts. So I would say when you look at the downtown east side, I drove through there just a couple of weeks ago. I locked my doors in the car, of course, but I was just... You know, it's almost tearful to see how many people are living and how the cartels and the people in the gangs are making huge money off these poor people by, you know, selling them the drugs. To me, that was one of the most shameful things I think we have in BC is the downtown east side. And you can't expect the City of Vancouver to do it all on their own. They can't. It's got to be both the provincial and the federal governments helping to see what we can do. We need more recovery centers. We need to be able to help people that can't make a decision for themselves. That has to come together very quickly, not just providing drugs for people to continue to use. That's not breaking the cycle of addiction. But I really have some very serious concerns about where we're going with that.
We are 2 weeks into the campaign period. Has anything about the past 2 weeks or the campaign period so far surprised you?
Yeah, I'm repeating myself, but it's just the focus on Trump. Versus, you know, that'll come and go. And, you know, and I think the best thing we can do as a country is unite with Europe and others to offset the influence that the president's trying to do with the rest of the world on tariffs. So again, as I was hoping we'd get more into just what's wrong with our country right now. How are we going to continue to operate fiscally responsible and spend money where it's most needed? Those are the challenges I see that the new government having.
Great. And just to wrap up, why do you see this election in particular as important to residents of Delta?
Well, one is you look at what we're facing again with the fentanyl crisis, the open access at the ports, lack of infrastructure funding, also the catch and release problems, bail problems. You've got the federal government continuing to put more emphasis on using our property taxes to really solve problems which are their responsibility. Those are the key things for me.
Great. Well, thank you for taking the time to join me this morning.
Sure.
That was my interview with Delta Mayor George Harvey, who spent some time talking about what he sees as the most important issues for residents of Delta in this upcoming election. Definitely some crossover, particularly with Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim and his thoughts there. You can find our whole series of these interviews on our website, cgsf.ca. Or you can go to SoundCloud, where we've got a playlist of all of our interviews. And this interview and all of those interviews were made possible by funding from the Community Radio Fund of Canada and their local journalism initiative. So thanks to them for facilitating that. Great. We're just going to keep things moving with a short music break. Some more local stuff by local femme hip hop quintet. Yeah, quintet. This is Red Light by Nada.
So I don't pop out like a jar-jar. Taking care of me and mine, better call off. All the shit I had to do, better fall off. To a new dimension, but my peace of mind protecting. Baby, got a one-way ticket, don't test me. Better lose these digits, don't text me. If your child calling on my line, make sure your signal's on high five. Can't ask for you every time.
But your network isn't that work.
I'm fine. Just need above average time. Sensitive to waves, see it as a sign. And if I'm oscillating or debating, then I'm better off getting dirty.
I lay up in my bed light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Need to stop so I feel right. Take a minute to breathe. I think I need to go red light. Think I need to go. Think I need to go home.
Bring in the big guns. Only going outside for some real ones. Any lesson I leave until the day's done. Going A1 in my true beach era. I dare you to say something. That's what I thought, bitch, stay on. 8+ hours till the sun's up. Got a date with my duvet, waiting on a new daylight.
I got lost on you, froze up like a yo game fruit. Light flashing before my eyes. Heart beating like I might die. Wish I could run, wish I could fight.
Liquid gold, only thing keeping me sane. Memories on my mind, hits like a stain. Told my mama quit this town, but it hurts to lie.
I lay up in my bed light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Think I need to go red light. Need to stop so I feel right. Take a minute to breathe. I think I need to go red light. Think I need to go. Think I need to go.
I know why. Cold hard time to get mine. Cut me up, now it's time to leap back in a line. When I'm feeling like I know why. Cold hard time to get mine. Cut me up, now it's time.
I need to go red light.
In advance of Canada's April 28th federal election, CJSF reached out to candidates from the four federal ridings representing Burnaby: Burnaby North Seymour, Burnaby Central, Vancouver Fairview South Burnaby, and New Westminster Burnaby Myardville. Between now and the day of the election, CJSF will be sharing interviews with the candidates who got back to us.
My name is Richard Farbridge. I am a civil engineer, live in Burnaby, worked in Burnaby. COVID hit, and I declined the vaccine in my workplace. And the union people were off for quite a bit of time. But being an engineer, I'm not in the union. So when they ended the policy, they turfed people that were management. So that was a game changer for me at this stage of my life. And I was really quite concerned on the way we as a group were treated as others within Canada. That's something I'd never experienced before from either side of the group, to see the Prime Minister saying, you know, on TV that there's no place for these people and what are we going to do with them, sounded pretty Orwellian. It was traumatic on my kids, and I thought, I need to do something about this. And I went to some protests and participated in various groups. But I thought, well, what can I do to personally facilitate change? So I joined the PPC, got familiar with them. I liked what I saw, and I put my name in as a candidate. But since then, it's really evolved from that one issue. It seems like most people are in agreement that a host of political issues have gone off the rails in the last 5 years. And on top of that, people haven't been talking about these issues. They take a side and they cancel the other. And, you know, it's a recipe for failure. So this is my contribution on behalf of my boys to try and help straighten the system out, whether it be to get into Parliament or just to be a voice in the debate that's going on to get people talking again.
Housing affordability is a major issue in Burnaby, and in your platform, you proposed a moratorium on immigrants. Can you explain how reducing immigration would directly improve housing affordability in the short and long term?
Well, it's a policy of the party, and they kind of prioritize it that when it comes to immigration, we're in favor of immigration. I don't think any party in Canada is against immigration, but traditionally it's been between 150 and 300,000 people per year. And under the Liberals, it's averaged about 1.2 million. So it's not just a dramatic increase. It's an extreme increase. And after 9 years of it, most people, including most PPCers, were okay with it. And then we start to see the effects. We don't have the hospital infrastructure for that rapid change. I was in the lab the other day to get blood work. I mean, you should have seen it. It wasn't fair to the people to have to wait in that, whether they be immigrants or other. It's affected housing. It's affected jobs. And what that has done is it hasn't created a backlash, but it's definitely made it okay to debate the issue now. Most people are like, yeah, we do need to talk about immigration. So that's what we're proposing. We think that the mass immigration has caused an impact, and the only way to get a control of it is to have a moratorium. But this is not a permanent thing. This is until we can manage, provide the services for the newcomers and not impact the people that are here so much. So it's not as extreme as some people first make out, but what we're in favor of is the dialogue. And one of the impacts is that it could lessen the demand for the housing. Now, that's our party platform, but being that you're talking about housing, I've experienced this as an engineer. I worked out of the country, and when I came back home, I thought, you know, I'll go away, I'll make some good money, and I'll come back home. Well, when I came back home, I found that housing prices had become unattainable for me. So my family and I, we live in a co-op. And I'm really in favor of co-op housing while we try and fix the purchase cost issue, because the non-profit nature of it really does make it dignified housing available for families and people trying to get by.
Burnaby is considered to be a diverse city in Canada. How would the PPC's proposed immigration reforms affect communities here?
Well, it's not anything against the communities here. I had one person say, so you think I shouldn't be here? I said, no, that's not what we're saying at all. You've been welcomed here and you're Canadian now. It's just the rate of current inflow. So I don't see a big effect on that. I think if we continue this way, you're going to see the very same impact affect the newcomers. I have had some coworkers say to me, you know, I came here for something and it's slipping away. So it affects everybody equally.
Your party wants newcomers to pass a Canadians values test. What specific values would be included and who decides what qualifies as a Canadian value?
That is a good question because things like that are subjective. And myself in the workplace, and also I used to be on the board of the engineers of BC, and they come into you in both those venues and they give you a list of your values. These are now your values. And it's always a selection of words that are positive words. You can't say they're bad, but there's so many to choose from. Yeah. How does somebody else decide what to say, what the values are? And, you know, when I was with the engineers, I looked at their values and I said, I got my values from my mother, not from a list you're handing me. So it's something that would have to be polled. And I think what they're getting at there is in the past, you know, you used to have the language mastered to a certain level and be able to answer questions about the culture. It's designed to show that a person has done their homework, wants to integrate as well as to bring themselves into the mix, and putting some effort into it. But I think it also helps newcomers in the beginning to get an idea of what kind of culture we feel we are and what they're coming to. It's not to change or exclude anybody.
How would you ensure that this test does not unfairly target certain religious or cultural groups or become tools for exclusion?
Very carefully. Perception, I think, is the main.